This is Josh.
This is Mandy, and you're listening to the Oregon Transition Podcast.
Brought to you by the TTAN, the Transition Tactical Assistance Network, and partners across the state.
From rural to urban, from your living room to your classroom, from your community to your employer, we are here to tell the stories that shift the perception of what is impossible to possible through inspiration, education, and community connection.
Oregon, this is your story. Welcome to the Oregon Transition Podcast, Season 5.
Hello, pod people. Hello, Mandy.
Hi, Josh.
We are back.
We are back for Season 5.
That's right. Welcome to Season 5 of the Oregon Transition Podcast.
We have hit our stride. We know what we're doing, or we are really good at pretending we know what we're doing.
What we are doing is bringing you the best stories about transition in Oregon.
We sure are. And I'm really excited about our podcast today.
I am too. So today's podcast is going to be about STEM. STEM is an acronym that stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics.
Interesting.
One thing that I personally enjoy most about this job is that is when we are able to introduce students to experiences or future jobs that they didn't know about, that we might open up some doors and maybe help students discover something new.
Absolutely. And not only that perfect fitting of a job, but maybe that doesn't require a four-year degree. Maybe that requires some just experience or some hands-on, a different way of learning that is customized for that student.
So today's podcast is going to be about STEM. And STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. So we're going to be hearing stories about how professionals are helping introduce students to careers in STEM.
And our CTE, other programs are helping with that education to find that perfect fit of a job that the student just may not have known about. Hey Josh, what jobs are in the STEM field?
We're talking about jobs in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We're looking at jobs that might be in a vet office, a veterinary office, or an electronic assembler, or nursing assistant, or a pharmacy tech. There's a lot out there.
That's really exciting to know that there are so many different options out there that I know I didn't think about when I was in high school.
So let's start with friend of the pod, Jody Johnson, and her interview with a student from Corbett, Oregon.
Hey, Evan, thanks for being here today.
Hi.
So I posed you some questions that I would love to hear your responses to. What is your plan for a job or career when you are finished with school?
Probably right after school, I'll just continue working for Honest One and gain as much experience as I can. And eventually I'd like to work on modifying performance cars.
Okay, so Honest One, is that an auto shop?
Yeah.
All right. How did you get involved in STEM?
It first started with the STEM survey that I took at the beginning of last year's school year, and then there was a post survey at the end of the year, and then that in the middle of that I got into the STEM introduction program at Mount Hood
Community College.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's your nearest local community college. How is STEM supporting your success to accomplishing your goal?
Mainly was probably the program at Mount Hood Community College that introduced us to all the STEM programs they offer.
Who has been a positive support or supporters of your success?
Definitely Kathy Knowles and my old teacher, Bill Harlow.
So some good teachers in your education system. That's awesome.
And I guess then Mr. Grove for running the car and truck club at school.
Yeah, those are important people to your success. What would you say to other students about STEM?
That if you don't like being in a classroom, if you don't like sitting down in a classroom all day, that's not what college has to be. You can learn to work with your hands. And
so you were fortunate enough to have introduction to STEM while still at your high school?
Yes.
And now it's transferring over into your community college.
Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jody and Evan.
This work was part of a larger grant. And way back in August 2022, Mandy, you and I interviewed Charlotte Albertson from the University of Oregon, Michelle Pruden, who is the transition specialist in Brooking Harbor School District, and Kathy Knowles, who is the transition specialist in Corbett.
And Kathy actually worked with Evan. So now we're seeing this all come together.
Let's hear what Charlotte, Michelle, and Kathy say about the STEM Echo project.
I'm Charlotte Albertson with the University of Oregon. I am one of the co-principal investigators for this project, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, Developing Education and Career Opportunity Systems, also known as STEM Eco Project, that was funded by the National Science Foundation through grant number 165-7015.
I'm Michelle Pruden. I'm the Youth Transition Specialist at Brookings Harbor High School in Brookings, Oregon. My school district has been a part of the STEM Eco Project from the very beginning.
Hi, I am Catherine Knowles, and I am from Corbett High School up in the Gorge in Oregon, and I am also a youth transition specialist here at the high school.
Well, thank you all for being here. We hear this word STEM, or at least I hear the word STEM a lot. I don't know if I have a working definition of everything that STEM might mean.
STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math is what it stands for. And it's really an old term designed to encompass learning across all those four areas. So if you think about traditional STEM work, are physicists or chemists, people who need 4 years and more of high school education in order to get into an entry-level position. What we're talking about in this project is really something known as hidden STEM, in which the careers focus on one or two areas of science, technology, engineering, or math, not that encompassing all four areas that we traditionally think of.
And so when we look at these potential jobs, are these jobs that could be available without a four-year degree or longer?
Absolutely. The hidden part is just that. These are careers that are available in nearly every community. They require 2 years or less of education to get that entry-level position. For some jobs, it's 6 months of training, might be an associate's degree up to 2 years. But these are really jobs that are located in almost every community. They're high-demand jobs. So they're things like welders, plumbers, electricians, solar technicians, cybersecurity personnel. So these are jobs that are widely available. They pay almost 10% higher than a job that has the same level of education that isn't in a hidden STEM area. Highly available, high paying jobs in high demand make it part of that hidden STEM economy.
They also tend to be stable. So when our world changes, these jobs don't go away. They're not lost. In fact, in my local community, there's been more of a need.
What is the STEM Echo Project?
Oh, hidden STEM is the focus of the STEM Eco Project. The eco part is that education and career opportunities that we tacked on to the end of it, because we want students, especially students who experience disability, to recognize that with just a little more education, there are lots of career opportunities out there. And by a little bit more, I mean just a little bit more beyond high school. These are jobs and careers that don't require that four-year college degree. There's lots of opportunities out there for good paying jobs in your local community.
I find that a lot of these STEM jobs too that our students get into, once they get a certificate or a two-year degree, once they get into the job, the organization or the employer also, if they want to go and continue their education, they chunk their education and they will pay for it. It's not only a job that's secure with benefits, it's also future education if they prefer. So it doesn't disrupt their lives that much like a four-year solid college opportunity would.
We have pretty rigorous CTE programs in our high schools. And so with some of my students, the focus wasn't necessarily on post-secondary education because they're sophomores. And we are looking at that for sure, really helping them attach themselves to a STEM opportunity while still in school. We have a rigorous welding program. We also have construction tech, digital graphics, and animation, all different types of opportunities that students may look at as electives or fun classes, but don't necessarily see that career component to those in-school opportunities. That was something that was sort of surprising and elevated because of this project in my world, was looking at what opportunities we had already in the building.
Now, the difference between Corbett and Brookings is we did not offer any of these CTE STEM experiences when we first started out with the STEM Eco project. We were all AP for all. Our motto was all AP, all college, 100% paid for. So we took a school that had a very rigorous academic program, and we helped this grant very slightly turn our focus with students that were getting passed over with the AP for all and got them into jobs and education 2 years and under, where they're having high paying jobs, good career paths, and also benefits that would support their families. So Michelle and I are coming from two completely different backgrounds when it comes to our schools.
So STEM Eco is really designed to start with the student, but then also connect the student to school opportunities and the community opportunities that ultimately will help prepare them for their career goals, whatever those career goals might be.
Well, I think that sounds amazing, because I'm just, in my own mind, I'm just thinking of someone who may struggle in classroom doing math, but then once they see that math applied in a practical sense, they're going to say, wow, this, I can do this. Math is not scary, because this matches my interests and my preferences.
One of the activities that we did as part of STEM Eco is we took an in-school field trip, and it sounded kind of cheesy at first, but it ended up being pretty impactful. The goal was to have students exposed to opportunities within their own school that they maybe didn't know about, whether it was robotics club, or they'd never walked inside the bot cave and looked at robots, or the welding shop. And so we just kind of did a little in-school walkabout. I expected teachers to be talking the entire time about their programs, but what I found out was that I had a group of kids within that STEM Eco group that were participating in these projects already or in these classes. And so instead of just the teacher talking, you know, this student would pipe up or that student would pipe up and say, like, let me show you what we did today, or let me show you what we did at competition last week, or here's what we won last year. And so the students started to teach other students about the opportunities within the school that were STEM related that they were already participating in. And sometimes for my student population, they're not the first person to speak up. They're not the first person to say, like, I've done that. Pulling that out of them is sometimes a full-time job. And it was really cool to see it naturally unfold, because they were proud and they were in their group of STEM kids. And so they felt comfortable highlighting not just their programs that they participated in, but their contribution to that. That was sort of a hidden nugget inside the hidden STEM activity.
Well, and then that also, Michelle, sounds so interesting, because that I could see that leading directly to the career opportunities, because not only are you interested in these clubs, but then you suddenly have these careers that you're really focused on, and you can become an expert in school leading up to the career that you're actually interested in.
But why should schools focus on hidden STEM opportunities for students?
Well, it opens up so many more doors for students at your school, because like when we were doing just AP classes and AP for all, it was great for a third of our students. They excelled in it. A third of them got by, and a third of them I felt were left behind. So I think that the hidden STEM, once we were able to educate the teachers and the staff, what hidden STEM was in our school already, I think the excitement started happening. We started teaching the students that what they're actually learning in some of these classes is going to affect them in their future jobs that they want. Also, something else that we haven't talked about yet is the CIS assessment, which is where we as Corbett start with students. We're starting in, we have an 8-9 academy. We're starting to assess in 8-9. And then what happens is we get them in clubs in 9th that they'll enjoy, because we have clubs every Tuesday and Thursday that a student can go to. And then that we start to see who excels in those clubs and what their assessments were. And then we make a 4-year plan for them in high school, what they're going to take that's going to get them those jobs that they seem to be excelling at.
And we also bring in community partners, like some of the community colleges and some of the education programs that we have around us, like a place called Impact Northwest, that come into our school and teach classes to the students that are going to help excel them into hidden STEM, like construction. Since we don't have a teacher that teaches construction, we invite someone in and we hold that class once a week. And all of a sudden, the students are starting to get excited about what they're seeing and what their opportunities are after high school.
I think it's important to really look at Department of Labor data. So STEM jobs are growing exponentially. They're going
very
unfilled.
Much so.
And we need those jobs filled if we want our world to continue to function to the best of its capacity. Students have some fears when they look at their future, and they typically are around being able to take care of themselves and others. And so in my local community, there are very few options. Much like Kathy, when we started our STEM Eco project, we started with CIS and utilizing their assessment tools and some other assessment tools that we were able to build into our CIS portal, which was really helpful. And then we took our students and we sort of gave them the opportunity to either partner up, do it solo, or group up based on clusters. So who are the people in STEM Eco that kind of have some like-minded career aspirations? And then you have those kids that are like, yeah, no, I want to do it by myself. From assessments, we kind of dove into where can we get a little bit more information. The students did a community mapping project, and it's morphed for sure from its first, you know, we're going to go on walkabouts out in the community. Thanks to COVID, we started to use a little more technology. But students were tasked with looking at and identifying opportunities in their local community as close as they could get and as far away as they wanted, as they could dream, where they could dive in to more STEM-related opportunities and activities. So it could be, you know, inviting 4-H to come and be a guest speaker because you're interested in animal husband and wifery. It could be that you wanted to have a psychologist join us via Zoom and talk to us about how you become a psychologist. We went on industry tours. We started clubs. But I wasn't the captain of the vessel. They were the captain of the vessel. And so they, either by themselves and partners or groups, started to really identify where they could get a little more STEM action and then how they could access that. By teaching them about STEM careers, I also inadvertently had to teach them how to make telephone calls to strangers. How do you identify yourself to somebody on the other end of the line that you kind of need something from? How do you book transportation, not just for yourself, but for 30 others? How do you plan lunch for that field trip? So they did every single component of an industry tour, field trip, or guest speaker with support from myself and my team, but on their own. That was powerful because it wasn't how I dreamed it necessarily, but exactly how they dreamed it to be.
Don't you think, Michelle, too, that this whole STEM project has just made it easier to transition from school to work? I mean, that's the main goal right there. It's just made a very seamless transition from school, high school, into the workforce there, because I feel like at least at our school, there was a disconnect before the STEM Eco Project. And then as we started educating teachers and students, et cetera, then it just kind of flowed. We're at the point now where I'm learning that the community is just as big of a part, the employers. And so I'm starting to start with the employers and ask them, what is it you need from our students for these jobs? What we learned from our employer, that they wanted us to concentrate a little bit more on soft skill development with the students, because students would get into the jobs in these wonderful STEM jobs, but they needed to learn workplace readiness, needed to learn skill development in like cell phone use and work attire and communication and time management. They didn't have those skills yet. So when we went out and talked to the community and the employers, our partners out there, they came back with us and said, could you please help with these things also when you're working with your students? So it kind of grew into not only STEM Eco, but also some basic skill development so they can keep their jobs and do a good job in the workforce today.
I just read an article and it was talking about, you know, the importance of STEM careers and why people should consider them. But it was also talking about the discrepancy, like why aren't we having these positions filled? And it was a lack of skill set, a lack of training, and a lack of knowledge.
I have a success story. We at Corbett do not offer classes or CTE classes yet. Brookings does. So what we did is we teamed up with Mount Hood Community College, and we worked for about 2 years through the STEM Eco Project
on getting a class for Corbett students to learn different skills. So finally, last year, we were able to, you know, COVID kind of kept us from doing this a little bit, but finally, we were able to put together a class where kids go to Mount Hood on Fridays. Now, we're a Monday through Thursday school, so we do not have school on Fridays. So we made the class on Fridays where a student could sign up, and Corbett High School will pay for this class. And over a 12-week period, they're going to experience each one of their CTE STEM occupations that they trained for at Mount Hood Community College. So we had 14 kids sign up last year. And out of those kids, the seven seniors that graduated are continuing their education in Mount Hood in one of those areas. And when they are completed, they're going to get an internship at the business that sponsored them from the class that we created at Mount Hood. For instance, Subaru, which has a huge plant here and has a huge parts area, and Mount Hood trains mechanics for Subaru. We have two students, and there's only 32 students that are allowed into these Subaru classes. We have two students from that Friday Mount Hood class that have been sponsored by Subaru that are going to get into it and take their two-year course and then get a job at the end of that. And they would not have been engaging in becoming an auto mechanic if it hadn't have been for that Mount Hood class that we worked to get, you know, CT and STEM involved with our students here at Corbett. So
I had a student who was really interested in working with fish and wildlife, but didn't want to go to college. So he wants to work with fish, didn't know exactly how he was going to do that. And so we started going down that rabbit hole, meeting with mentors of our fishing club and having conversations about how do you get to that job if college isn't necessarily something that you want to do. Now, he spent an entire summer working in the fishing industry, not necessarily because that is the exact job that he wants as a sophomore, but it's the job, it leads him to the career that he wants after graduation. And so what we were told by our local, because he wants to work specifically for fish and wildlife within the tribe, we spoke to the employment rights officer, the TARO officer for the tribe, and he said, well, you need to get as much experience on that resume in all aspects of fishing. And so he spent an entire summer fishing and making really good money locally just so that he can reach his career after graduation in a couple of years.
How long have you been working with the STEM Eco Project?
5 years since we started. Yeah, it was first awarded in 2017. And the idea behind it was not only to increase awareness of and engagement in STEM career opportunities for students with disabilities, and to look across how do we connect students to school, to community. But it was the way we wanted to do that by creating tools within CIS, within Oregon's Career Information System, to help create that awareness. Because CIS is used in many schools across Oregon. And so Michelle and Kathy both reference use of CIS. Mm-hmm. So some of the tools, I'll elaborate on those for just a second. Once those assessments are completed within CIS, one of the tools that was created as part of this project is the STEM report, which flags hidden STEM careers that are based on those high interest categories that are identified through that assessment. So the student takes the assessment, and then the report that comes out highlights those hidden STEM opportunities. So it flags those well-paying occupations that aligned with the student's interest. From that, students can explore the MAP, or My Action Planning Tool, which helps students to identify their post-secondary education and career options, again, within the state of Oregon, to look at, well, what information is needed about that career? What information can be gleaned from that career? And so things like the admissions requirements for a school, or the web link to the school, or the course of study for that program, cost, how much a program costs to attend that program. And then from the MAP, students can then generate a to-do list, which would be things like, oh, complete the application by this date, or I want to contact someone in my community who works in that field to do an interview with them. The report is completely customizable to what it is that the student needs to do in order to reach their career goals. And so those are just some of the tools that are new within CIS that are part of the STEM Eco Project that schools will eventually have access to.
And from that, like from a transition specialist standpoint, a student can go and go through that process and come out with to-do list of things that they would like to do, which is really helpful when you're having students lead their IEP meetings and you're working with case managers and county case management, or, you know, different people of the team. The really cool thing is the students can go in there and they can edit it. So like, let's say I'm a student who struggles with transportation, right? And I'm looking at going farther away from Brookings, and I might have to learn how to utilize multiple modes of transportation. I could put that on my to-do list and I could have that conversation with my team. And then I could make sure that I'm planning ahead for that. And then it's portable. So it's something that the student can print, download, upload to their CIS. They can take it with them. They can share it with their families. And so I'll be really honest, like, we've gotten to that point where we've got that process well honed. It's now taking it to the next level. And so when I look to the future, I look at how can I equip my students with the skill sets to be able to lead their own IEP meetings, at least that transition component, with knowledge and with confidence. Like, I know that this is what I want to do, and I know that this is exactly how I'm going to get there. And this is what I need you guys to help me with so that I can be successful after I leave high school.
Right. And I was going to say, once they do the assessment and they get an idea of what they're good at, what their interests are, I mean, there's other little tools that schools can use for transition. Like, we implemented last year this huge community board in the commons area for where the students stand. And it's divided into six different sections. And it talks about, one of the section is a community partner. So we always feature a community partner. And then the next section is college. And the next section is careers and internships. And then one is just jobs, if you need dollars now. And then the next one is events. So what we're doing is, a teacher, like, we started it, like, you know, the transition specialist put it up with a few students, but it's grown. Like, they want to add a whole nother panel this year, you know, so it's grown into this thing where a student or a teacher can go and look and see what's available to them. So a student finds out, okay, construction, I will be good in construction because my CIS assessment showed me that I would be good at this in my interest in my my strengths are. So he goes to the board and he sees, oh, there is a construction field trip in a month and a half. I'm going to email, and they pull off the email of the person that's organizing it and get on that list to go to that construction workshop or that construction event. And so it's that bulletin board has been one of the easiest tools that we did at Corbett to help students find their path and to find the next step. And we've had a lot of success with it, and we're just going to keep growing until we have everything up there that we want to communicate to the students. What I've learned from it is, I used to start with the student, assess them, and then kind of make this path. But now I've kind of turned the table a little bit, and now I'm starting to meet with employers and community members that are out there. And I'm saying, what do you need for this job? Or what do you need for this internship? What do you need? And then I log it. And then when a student starts coming up and I see that that's a fit, I already know what the employer needs. So I'm able to work with that student and get them the training or the education that they need to fit that internship or that job. So that's what I learned. I just kind of turned the tables a little bit and found out, if I worked with the employer first, it allows me to help the student more on that path.
And I feel like my table has been turned in that I don't need to be the type A control freak of transition for my kids. They're fully capable of exploring career pathways and accessing opportunities with support on their own. And I don't have to do it for them. And I shouldn't do it for them, because there's so much learning that takes place along the pathway. And so for me, I might go to the employer first. I might go to the kiddo first, but always I'm thinking, what do I necessarily need to not do for them? Because they're fully capable of doing it themselves. And so I think it's helped me foster more independence when it comes to career exploration and giving students the opportunity to make their choices and not necessarily just those traditional choices that we've always felt they needed to consider.
Well, I would like to thank Charlotte, Michelle, and Kathy for that informative interview about the STEM Eco Project.
It's such an exciting project, and the incorporation of CIS to STEM, to serving those students and really giving them the information on whole new fields. also with the ability to have their lives and their journey be their own. They are in control.
It's all about helping students explore their preferences, interests, and strengths, and finding new possible jobs that they can explore. And who knows, maybe they'll set some new goals.
Absolutely. And make a difference in the world. Make a little money while you're at it. Kind of a good thing.
Yes, benefits everyone.
If you'd like to know more about the STEM Eco Project or maybe how you can utilize some of these tools, reach out to the Oregon Transition Podcast email.
Thank you for listening to our podcast episodes. Episode 1 of Season 5 is now in the books.
Peace out, pod people.
And be well.
The Oregon Transition Podcast is brought to you by the TTAN, the Transition Technical Assistance Network, with the support from Vocational Rehabilitation and Oregon Department of Education.
All views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the individual, not the supporting agencies.
The Oregon Transition Podcast is produced by
Mandy Younger,
Josh Barber,
Jody Johnson,
and the Podfather,
Lon Thornburg.
Additional interviews are brought to you by the members of the TTAN.
Our theme music was composed by former student Boone Richter out of Brownsville, Oregon.
Additional music provided by Lon Thornburg.
For additional questions, comments, or suggestions, please email us at OregonTransitionPodcast@gmail.com.
For the latest OTP news, connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.